Miss Gilchrist was a spare, faded-looking woman with short, iron-grey hair. She had one of those indeterminate faces that women around 50 so often acquire. She greeted Mr. Entwistle warmly. "I'm so glad you've come, Mr. Entwistle. I really know so little about Miss Lanskene's family, and of course I've never, never had anything to do with a murder before. It's too dreadful." Mr. Entwistle felt quite sure that Miss Gilchrist had never before had anything to do with murder. Indeed, her reaction to it was very much that of his partner. "One reads about them, of course," said Miss Gilchrist, relegating crimes to their proper sphere. "And even that I'm not very fond of doing. So sordid, most of them." Following her into the sitting-room, Mr. Entwistle was looking sharply about him. There was a strong smell of oil paint. The cottage was overcrowded, less by furniture, which was much as Inspector Morton had described it, than by pictures. The walls were covered with pictures, mostly very dark and dirty oil paintings, but there were watercolour sketches as well, and one or two still lifes. Smaller pictures were stacked on the window-seat. "Mrs. Lanskene used to buy them at sales," Miss Gilchrist explained. "It was a great interest to her, poor dear. She went to all the sales round about. Pictures go so cheap nowadays, a mere song. She never paid more than a pound for any of them, sometimes only a few shillings, and there was a wonderful chance, she always said, of picking up something worthwhile. She used to say that this was an Italian primitive that might be worth a lot of money." Mr. Entwistle looked at the Italian primitive pointed out to him dubiously. Cora, he reflected, had never really known anything about pictures. He'd eat his hat if any of these daubs were worth a £5 note. "Of course," said Miss Gilchrist, noticing his expression, and quick to sense his reaction. "I don't know much myself, though my father was a painter, not a very successful one, I'm afraid, but I used to do watercolours myself as a girl, and I heard a lot of talk about painting, and that made it nice for Mrs. Lanskene to have someone she could talk to about painting and who'd understand. Poor dear soul, she cared so much about artistic things. You were fond of her?" A foolish question, he told himself. Could she possibly answer no? Cora, he thought, must have been a tiresome woman to live with. "Oh, yes," said Miss Gilchrist. "We got on very well together. In some ways, you know, Mrs. Lanskene was just like a child. She said anything that came into her head. I don't know that her judgment was always very good." "One does not say of the dead, she was a thoroughly silly woman," thought Mr. Entwistle. "She was not in any sense an intellectual woman," he said. "No, no, perhaps not, but she was very shrewd, Mr. Entwistle, really very shrewd. It quite surprised me sometimes how she managed to hit the nail on the head." Mr. Entwistle looked at Miss Gilchrist with more interest. He thought that she was no fool herself. "You were with Mrs. Lanskene for some years, I think. 3½. You acted as companion and also did looked after the house." It was evident that he had touched on a delicate subject. Miss Gilchrist flushed a little. "Oh, yes, indeed. I did most of the cooking. I quite enjoy cooking, and did some dusting and light housework. None of the rough, of course." Miss Gilchrist's tone expressed a firm principle. Mr. Entwistle, who had no idea what the rough was, made a soothing murmur. "Mrs. Panter from the village came in for that, twice a week, regularly. You see, Mr. Entwistle, I could not have contemplated being in any way a servant. When my little tea-shop failed, such a disaster. It was the war, you know. A delightful place. I called it the Willow Tree, and all the china was blue willow pattern. Sweetly pretty, and the cakes really good. I've always had a hand with cakes and scones. Yes, I was doing really well. And then the war came, and supplies were cut down, and the whole thing went bankrupt. A war casualty. That's what I always say, and I try to think of it like that. I lost the little money my father left me that I had invested in it, and of course I had to look round for something to do. I had never been trained for anything, so I went to one lady, but it didn't answer at all. She was so rude and overbearing. Then I did some office work, but I didn't like that at all, and then I came to Mrs. Lanskene, and we suited each other from the start, her husband being an artist and everything." Miss Gilchrist came to a breathless stop and added mournfully, "But how I loved my dear, dear little tea shop! Such nice people used to come to it!" Looking at Miss Gilchrist, Mr. Entwistle felt a sudden stab of recognition. A composite picture of hundreds of ladylike figures approaching him in numerous bay trees, ginger cats, blue parrots, willow trees, and cosy corners, all chastely encased in blue or pink or orange overalls, and taking orders for pots of china tea and cakes. Miss Gilchrist had a spiritual home, a ladylike tea shop of ye olde-worldy variety with a suitable, genteel clientele. There must, he thought, be large numbers of Miss Gilchrists all over the country, all looking much alike, with mild, patient faces and obstinate upper lips and slightly wispy grey hair.